ceiling. Dominic Calvert-Lewin has done exactly that. On the ass. Oh, what a finish. That's what he can do. Calvert-Lewin's ball in. Chance for Rooney. He's back in the blue jersey.
Right, welcome to our latest Royal Blue podcast in association with Sport Pacer. And we've got a couple of regulars here. We've got Gavin and Scotty, myself, Dave Prentice. And we've got a very special guest, or should I say two very special guests, because he's brought the Europa League trophy with him as well, which is outside in reception. We've got Leon Osman with us, who obviously knows an awful lot about European football. And let's get it out of the way quickly. That goal against Larissa. That was voted goal of the season, I believe. In what season was it? 2007, 2008. I can remember it in freeze frame detail from the little back heel, from it being teed up on the edge of the penalty area to you, just fading it with the outside of your foot inside the post. Have I done it justice? Is that how you remember it?
It's better than I remember it. Yeah,
2007, 2008. Yeah. Wow,
I know it's a long time ago. Yeah,
that makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah, it was a good evening for us. A special night. Yeah. All the European nights we had at Goodison Park. You know, all seemed special.
Yeah.
But that one especially so for myself with scoring what turned out to be the goal of the season, which was great, yeah.
Was European football different? Do you get like a different, you know, vibe when you're going out there? You know, do the opposition make it different? Does the atmosphere make a difference?
Yeah, it does feel different. I mean, Premier League nights at Goodison Park are fantastic, but there is a different buzz, a different feel in the air when it's European competition, from just simple things like the board being across the front of the bench, and you know, just the hoardings, the difference to show off the different competitions. There's a music that's a little bit different. Yeah. So there is a different feel to it, but you know, it makes it special. It makes you realise what kind of night you're playing. You look at the opposition, you see we don't get to do this very often, play against this team from this country, and it makes you want to beat them more to show that you're better than them.
What was the atmosphere like when you played in that famous Fiorentina match at Goodison Park? That was one of the best atmospheres I've sat in Goodison Park. What was it like to play in another special European, even though we did get knocked out, obviously, but the atmosphere on that night was special, wasn't it?
It was, and, you know, it's disappointing. We ended up getting knocked out, but we won 2-0 at home against Fiorentina in the Cup, and, you know, what an amazing night. It's one of the better memories, probably top five I've got of my playing career at Everton that night. The atmosphere was incredible right from the start. The support was there, inspiring us all over the pitch. And then, you know, to score the two goals that we needed to, we just felt we were going to go on and win. And, you know, I think there was a post and a whatnot, and we just couldn't quite get that winning goal. And it went to penalties, and, you know, the rest, as they say, is history.
It's funny talking about the atmosphere that night, because we've spoken in previous podcasts about European football and whether we think the Europa League games are as important as the Premier League games this season, given how, you know, sort of mediocre the start has been. And the atmosphere on Thursday could be quite important, because certainly there's been a real sense of nervousness amongst the crowd over the last few games. You know, Burnley, 15, 20 minutes, it was great until Burnley score. And then you can just sense, like, you know, this mood around the place changing. Mm. And that's got to transmit to the players. And, you know, it must be difficult to play in a situation like that when you can sense the crowd being on edge and being uneasy.
It is. You know, as you say, the tension that builds up around the stadium, certainly you can feel it on the pitch, whether you want to or not, whether you try and insulate yourself from it or not, it seeps down onto the pitch. And it can make it more difficult, but special occasions like the Fiorentina game and other top games, the support was just there. It was just it was as if we knew if we win this game, we could win this competition, and it was all down to that. And to win the game and not go through was really disappointing. And but, you know, this game on Thursday against Lyon, and then, you know, the return or the following week later, and the weekend game for Everton, it's a big chance for the players and the fans to all get on the same page. These next two or three games could really start the season off, and hopefully it does.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention, you know, so our stats can change. I'm reaching for my sad stats book here, because I was trying to find parallels with previous seasons. And 2008, and you look at that start of the season, beaten at home by Blackburn on the opening day, go to West Brom and win, and you managed to squeeze one in.
Yeah, I remember that one.
got beaten by Portsmouth at home 3-0.
Yeah, I didn't play in that one.
Then won at Stoke 3-2. But then, you know, wheels came off a little bit then. Drew at home to Standard Liège. You were a very good side. I think Fellaini was playing for them then, wasn't he? And then got beat away, so, you know, go out of Europe. Drew against Hull 2-2, lose at Blackburn, lose the derby to Liverpool, you know, draw against Newcastle. Very, very similar situation after 8 or 9 games. The end of that season, we finished 5th. Go to the cup final against Chelsea. You know, things can change. Now, I suppose for that to happen, you've got to have players of a certain character. And you look at that squad there, and a lot of very, very strong characters in that squad. You know, so Phil Jagielka, Julian Lescott, Joseph Yeobo was still playing then. Phil Neville. So, you know, lots of strong characters. Some commentators have suggested the current squad doesn't have the same level of character in there. Have you seen much of them this season? You know, could you agree or disagree with that? Do you think, you know?
Well, I don't know what it's like off the pitch.
Yeah.
But, you know, that year you were talking about, I remember we had a few players missing at the start, and I remember young Jose Baxter made his debut on the opening day of the season because we were that, you know.
Short on numbers,
yeah. But the whole time off the pitch, the camaraderie was still good. Yeah. And the jokes were still happening, and the pranks were still going on and all that, and it keeps you upbeat. Yeah. Somebody's got to be there to remain positive, and when things aren't going right, have the experience to say, don't worry, it'll turn. Yeah. It might just take one result, and you know, looking through the results there, I remember we did struggle. We played okay in some of the games, but it took us to go to Bolton, and I think it was a midweek night, and we battled, and it was a horrible game. And we won right at the very end with a Fellaini goal. And suddenly that type of thing can just change your season. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we had a last-minute equaliser at the weekend from a penalty. That type of thing can change your season and really inspire the lads. But when things aren't going right, you need somebody off the pitch to keep spirits up and to remain positive in the way that, don't worry, it's all going to change.
Yeah, because that was the key week, wasn't it? Because we played Man United on the Saturday, hadn't we, before, and the Bolton game. And we got beat 1-0 at half-time. That was when the Phil Neville tackle on Ronaldo wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then Fellaini equalised. And then, as Leon said, we went to Bolton on the Wednesday, didn't we? And he scored with the last kick, last header of the game, wasn't it? Yeah. And then we kicked on from there. And if you have a look at that season, I think we only lost 4 of the last 24 games going into the cup final. And I said that last week, is that for me was Moyes' best. That's the best team we've had in the 21st century, Evan. You know, the 2007 to 2009 team. And I said that last week, and one of the things was, and it's a sort of like, compared to the current squad makeup, is you were all around the same age, weren't you, Leon? Because you were born in early 80s, you were like mid-20s at the time, yourself. Yeah. Arteta, you know, Stephen Pienaar, Jags, Lescott. You have a look at your birthdays, you're all born within the same year. So if you have a look at the current squad, it's imbalanced to me. Is that we've got a lot of players aged 28 and above, and we've got a lot of players
really young,
24 and below. What we haven't got is that gap in between that all you were at that time. No players at their peak years. And I think that's something that we've not really addressed, strange enough, since that time. Is that there's like two different transfer strategies going on at the moment, one for the short term and the longer term one, isn't it?
Well, maybe when them players that we've now identified reach maturity, we'll hopefully keep them together and they'll be ready for that. But you're right, I mean, I going back to my last season at the club, you know, I was on the older side of a career, as we all know. And you just start to lose touch with the younger lads. You still, obviously, they look up to you and you have respect and you still speak, but you become a father figure rather than a teammate. Yeah. And the jokes that you did on teammates, they don't work on the young kids. And things just started to change a little bit. And maybe you're right, how broad the age gaps are within the squad at the minute. Maybe that's making
an effect. And it's not that those peak, I always say the peak years, about 24 to 28, and we haven't got any play. We've got people on the edges. Yeah. But we haven't got anybody, I think, in those peak years. And but that team that you had, which I thought was a really good team, we did have a load in that age gap all around the same age.
At, you're looking at them that age or that time, and you're saying, you know, so probably from 26 to 28, 29 for the majority of us. And I think we were probably in Europe, or we qualified for Europe directly through the league, about four times in five or six seasons in that period, and it just showed that we were all consistent. We played together. But what we also did have was we knew we were all a big part of the squad. We knew, you know, I might get injured for a week or 2 weeks, and someone come in. But ultimately, we were all going to play a big part of the season. We needed to rely on each other, and you know, I also think you need that within a squad. You need a big squad, but you need to know you're all a part of the squad, not just a fringe player coming in and out. You need to feel a big chunk of it.
I think the problem, I mean, this season, that, you know, I can see that, you know, that team that David put together had a very, you know, firm philosophy, a very firm playing style. You always knew what type of football he was going to play. Got a bit of flack at times. I mean, the other shout across the park when, you know, sort of went slow in suggesting it was Route 1 football, it was direct. And it was to a point until the ball got into the final third. And some of the football that was played was absolute top class. I always think of Moyes' final game against West Ham at Goodison. And West Ham were a decent side then. It was just, some of the football was sublime. Yeah. It was great. And there was, you know, an actual, you know, plan, a philosophy. And you can't really see that so much at the moment. You know, Ronald seems to be chopping and changing, you know, from a three at the back to a, you know, sort of flat back four. Different people playing number 10. We had Dominic Calvert-Lewin playing right wing back against Stoke, and then he was played wide left, you know, Brighton at the weekend. Just seems to be mixing it up a little bit too much. No real shape, you know, so that you can identify.
I'd be probably more concerned if the manager was keeping with the same team or the same personnel or the same strategy. He's trying his best. I know he's on 6 million a year and whatnot, and he should be doing but getting better results, but I look at him, he's chopping and changing, isn't he? He's trying different things. I'd be more concerned if he was staying with the same formation, the same team.
Right.
He's not. He's trying different players in different positions. And as Leon says, until it does work, we may get a result against Leon, and it could be a springboard for our season. But I just look at Leon. No, when in the if there was some negatives.
Leon.
I just look at him. If there was some bad spells during your career at Everton, was there any of the senior pros that had approached the manager and maybe questioned some of his alternatives? As I look at it now, and a lot of the fans are saying to me, surely the likes of Jagielka or Binder questioning Koeman, what's going on? Or obviously Rooney, a lot of experience in there. Was any of the senior pros when you were there obviously asking questions of the manager when it weren't going well?
I don't know if it's right for a player to go in and say what's going on to the manager. Yeah. But, you know, I think there comes a point where the manager does identify one or two senior players he can trust and goes and asks their opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Moyes went and just said, I've tried this and I'm trying this. He's in a bit of form. What do you think? And would just speak to the players about it. And it's a lot easier to do it that way around than a player going and banging on the door of a manager and saying, what's going on?
Yeah.
Whether that's happening with Ronald Koeman asking the opinion of his senior players, I couldn't tell you, but I'm pretty sure Moyes did that throughout his career.
I always remember Unzi asking me once whether I should have a quiet word with the manager. Got on well with David Moyes. He was, because he was a new young manager coming into the football club, and obviously I've been doing the job for so long, I think, you know, I could give him a little bit of insight into, you know, some things I'd seen at the club. I remember Unzi pulling me and saying, look, have a word with him, you know, so, you know, he's pushing us too hard on the training pitch. You know, we're trying too hard. And was being played United and I got beat 4-3. Remember, we were 3-0 down, got back to 3-3, got beat 4-3. And I went to Birmingham in midweek and got battered 3-0. And I forget the actual circumstances. It was somebody's stag weekend. Was it Kevin's? And he wanted to go away somewhere. And Moyes had, like, you know, no, it's not happening. You're not doing it. And I just tried to very gently broach the subject and said, you know, so look, you know, some of the lads think that you're pushing them too hard, you know, maybe you should try and ease up on them. And he just slaughtered me. I won't use the language that he used then, but he just took me to pieces and said that if we hadn't just gone to Birmingham and been battered 3-0 and they weren't trying to go on this, you know, piss up somewhere. You know, so basically, it wasn't going to happen. You know, so I can understand a reluctance to approach the manager.
Moyes was a believer in, you know, with regards to working too hard and with regards to characters and how hard you worked, the runs you did in the training field. Like, pre-season was ridiculously hard under David Moyes. Some of the things, once the fitness coaches came in and your sports scientists, they would say, look, what are you running that? That's impossible for athletes and you're making them run that. And he said, I'm not doing it to get them fit all the time. So I'm doing it to see which ones have got the character, which ones will dig it out, which ones, when they're up against it, will go, oh, my back's sore, there's my knee, I can't finish this run. And which ones, even though they can't do it, will finish it. He said, yeah. I do this half the time to see which ones are the characters I can rely on.
That's great psychology, that, yeah.
And to be fair, when you look back, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, and you can good you look job. Back and you think, well, he always finished it. I mean, I finished it, but I was never in time. But I finished the race. That's one of the things where he come back and he relied on you.
It's funny because David was always renowned for, like, looking into players' backgrounds. He always got the unfair reputation, like, thought Dither and Davy, because he took too long in the transfer market. But for me, that was because he wanted to know absolutely everything about the player, about how he lived his life, about his background, about, you know, fitness levels, everything, before he finally would make a decision. And you sometimes, I'm thinking at the moment, some of the players that, you know, so we've got on board, that, you know, so maybe, I wouldn't say Ronald hasn't gone into it in that level of detail, you know, so clearly they've looked into the backgrounds and stuff, but too many, you know, seem to be struggling to adapt all at the same time. And I wouldn't question the character, but, you know, certainly a lot of the players that have come in from, you know, continental football are taking one look at the Premier League and thinking, oh, my God, you know, so what's this? Davy Klaassen struggled to adapt to it. Sandro just looks, you know, sort of lightweight at the moment. Because it is, it's a very unforgiving environment, the Premier League. And for me, I think it's very different to, you know, so, you know, what you see on the continent. You know, it's more intense, it's more physical. Maybe in Europa League football, you know, you'll see maybe, you know, not quite as aggressive, not quite as intense.
Yeah, because like that 2008-90s, that's when Fellaini came in, wasn't it? And he spent most of his first season getting booked, didn't he? You know, if you remember, though he could play. I thought he, you know.
But again, foreign players, I think, try to show that they can handle
at the time, he came in as a holding midfielder
and tried
his best for himself about, but it was quickly realised he can't play that role. And it took him a little bit to adapt, maybe 6 months, and suddenly we found actually he's a pretty good number 10 in the way we want to play, the way he holds the ball up and brings people into play. So some, you know, some players just need to adapt and find, they're good players. But maybe the role they did for a club on the continent isn't the role that they can do over here in the Premier League. And it takes a while to find that out.
Jack's first game was centre, wasn't he? Defensive midfield, and he played right back.
Jack's came on as a number 10. I swear to God, last 10 minutes down, I think it was White Hart Lane, and we were winning. He came on as number 10, and he just ran around like like an excited dog.
That's what you made your debut, wasn't it, Leon?
Wasn't it White Hart Lane? Thanks to Richard Wright in the warm-up, wasn't it? Thanks, Rich. Was that the Espen Barton game? Yeah, and we lost 4-3. Brian McBride put us 1-0 up after a minute. It was a crazy, mad game. Ibrahim Saeed got on the bench before me that game.
Ibrahim Saeed, before he dyed his hair red.
He came on at the end, though, didn't he?
But I came on at the very end to make my debut. I touched it once, I think, with my head and ran around like an excited little kid.
But it was the third Jags game. You scored in that game, didn't you? In the first half.
I did, yeah. It was a good memory that I've got that. It was a good start to the season, that one. We won our home to Wigan, went to White Hart Lane where we hadn't really won before, won 3-1. Stubbsy scored a free kick as well. And can't remember who else got the other goal.
Scott scored, didn't he?
Maybe Jolyon scored because he was on a bit of a streak back then. But yeah, good ground for us, White Hart Lane.
Leon, is the a moment that throughout your Everton career that you'd love to revisit one more time?
A game, I'd like another crack at the FA Cup final, considering we got all the way there and it was baking and we didn't put on the performance we wish we could have. Games, there's a few games, the quarterfinals against Wigan, the first leg at Fiorentina to...
2-0 away.
Only for me to... don't want this to sound too bad, but to say to David Moyes, we don't need to go chasing that second goal at Fiorentina. 1-0's fine, but we ended up taking off a midfielder and putting a striker on with 10 minutes to go, 1-0 down, because we felt we needed the goal, but we didn't. But that was a learning curve of European football.
I think, you know, when you read like about the 2009 Cup final and a bit of stick, and Moyes gets a bit of stick, it's what people forget is like, we were missing that day. We had no Jags, no Arteta or Yakubu for a start. You know, and that's a bit like Chelsea having no John Terry, Lampard and Drogba, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people forget about that we had like three key players through the middle of the pitch.
We'd identified Fellaini was a number 10 at that point. He had to play deep midfield. I think it was him and Phil Neville with Kale in front of them. And, you know, I as you've just said, that's not the role that was going to get the best out of him.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting that we didn't have a full-strength team when we got to the FA Cup final, but it's just a crazy game.
And beat some really good teams along the way, didn't we, to get through to that final?
We had a really good run. I mean, Yeah. And I think that we had the ridiculous record of no player scored twice on the route to the final.
Yeah.
Everyone scored one goal. So
it was statistically the hardest run, wasn't it, for the cup final? Yeah. Because I think we played four. Was it four of the top four? Three of the top
that's
four.
That's the Everton way, isn't it?
Yeah.
We beat Liverpool, hadn't we, and Aston Villa, and obviously Manchester United in the semi, and then obviously Chelsea in the final.
Yeah. Well, bringing it forward, I mean, can we do that at Chelsea in the Carabao Cup this season? I mean, looking at the next run of games coming up, it's like a really, really, you could say, pivotal time of the season. You know, Lyon, a very good side, you know, full of Champions League experience. It's then Arsenal at Goodison, you know, which is, okay, you know, that might have been not worked in Everton's favour. Troy Deeney coming out with what he came out with at the weekend, you know, because you're going to get a reaction, you know, after that, you would hope, from Arsenal. Then it's Chelsea away in the Carabao Cup. But, you know, obviously they're in the middle of a Champions League, you know, so schedule, so they might make changes, which, you know, could work in our favour.
Chelsea will make changes. I think their squad is thinner than you'd realised at the start of the season. Their strength and depth is nowhere near what anyone thought it would be. Arsenal, despite what Deeney's come out and said, I still think at their best they're still weak. I still don't think they've got the character to see a game out. So it is. And then we've got this home game against Lyon, which... Yeah. Three big games, all in a short space, but it could really be a turning point for our season. It might only take, as we discussed before, a tackle to get the crowd going, to get everyone forward, or a last gasp winner to get the victory that we need. And suddenly everyone's inspired. And you do that in any of these next three games, then the confidence should come flooding back because they're three big games.
Yeah. I mean, there's one player I wanted to bring up here. Now, you just sit down and behave yourself. But, you know, Kevin Morales, who we've had lots and lots of discussions about around this table before. Now, the squad is short. No, listen.
I'm going.
The squad is short on pace at the moment. We've said that. There's no real pace in the team. And Kevin adds pace, you know, so love him or load him. He's direct and he brings pace. He made a difference in the short time he was on at the weekend. It looks like, fingers crossed, Ronald buried the hatchet with him. He nearly scored the winner, you know, so later on he got brought down for the free kick that, you know, so eventually led to the penalty. You know him far better than we do. I mean, you know, what qualities does Kevin have? You know, so he can finish. Clearly, he has got pace.
Yeah, he's got skill. He's got pace. He's got the desire to score a goal.
Well, it's funny, it's all character, because things always stick in your mind. And for me, there was a game at Anfield. I don't know which one it was, because we've been battered there so many times over the last few years. But it was one of the 4-0 games. And he was the one player for me that never gave up. You talk about having character. And he just kept going, he kept digging in, he kept running. He had a real go. Now, okay, it's not something we've seen consistently from him, but that made a mark on me that I just thought, well, yeah, you'll do. You know, you've got a bit of character about you.
I think that says a lot, Dave. Yeah. I think that says a lot that you just remember one or two games considering he's been played under three managers now at Everton.
Yeah.
And you can remember one or two flashes.
No, I can remember a lot more than that.
That's what I'm trying to say. He's been nowhere near consistent enough.
No, he hasn't got consistency.
A starting shirt ahead of anyone.
Yeah.
And he's got... Do you know what? What winds me up more than anything about him, he's got lots of ability.
Yeah.
Probably more than anyone in that Everton team, and he doesn't use it on a consistent basis. And that's what infuriates me. I'd understand if it wasn't good enough, but willing to run through a bit of water. I get all that.
You've got to be played to show it. He hasn't been selected all season.
He's been there 5 years.
What I'd say is, Kevin Morales is a very good player.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a lot of positive things to his games, which are great, but unfortunately, he's not probably the bravest. Yeah. You know, I think we'd all admit, I think he'd admit that himself. He's not the bravest. And sometimes when you're an Everton player, the Everton fans, we want to see a bit of bravery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that works against him from the start. Yeah. But he is a good player. Now, under David Moyes, we brought him in and he was a bit weak and a bit slight. Mm. But we're talking about adapting to the British game before. He did adapt. And in that, by the end of that first season, not only was he giving us what he can do going forward, he was tracking back, he was tackling, he was giving us what he can, he was trying to use his body, and he really became the player that he should still be able to be. Problem next was under Roberto Martinez. Roberto started telling him that because of Roberto's style of play, that he didn't need to track back. Yeah. And that, you know, don't worry working all so hard coming back. We'll have other players that you use all of your energy going that way, which is fine. But it's not really bad because sometimes you're up against it. You need teammates to come back, and it took us a season to get that mentality. And I'm generalising quite a few players that played under Moyes and under Martinez and similar players. That it took you a while to get that attitude into them to be a team player and to be part of the team and get back. And if I need help, I'm going to get you back.
Yeah.
To under Martinez, it was said that go and show us what you've got going forward, and we lost a little bit of that unity at that point.
I suspect that might be something we're seeing at the moment with Ronald, which is why he hasn't picked him, because he wants to see him doing it, tracking back. He wants to see him, you know, sort of
personally, I'd have him in my team.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
I think, for especially now with...
He offers something we haven't got at the moment.
Pace, yeah. His lack of pace, I think, to have him on the shoulder, because he does want to play on the shoulder.
Yeah.
He wants to run in behind. He wants to go one-on-one with the keeper.
Yeah.
And he's very good in them situations. And I certainly would have him in and around and as one of the... If he's not starting... He's one of them impact substitutes you can use.
He signed about 2 or 3 year contract, was it, recently?
Last summer?
So you've got to play him on that basis. You can't have him on the substitute for 3 years.
I can understand why he wasn't getting as much time last season, because we had Lukaku, who could do the pace and he could do the strength and he could be a goal threat. And he gave us all of that. But at the minute, I'm looking who's playing on the shoulder and who wants to run in behind. And there's not that many who do that, but Kevin does.
Yeah, who's the most talented player that you played with at Goodison? Because I've heard different things from different people, about... I won't toss one in, but just...
I always hate this question. Who's the most talented?
Well, if I throw one, I've heard quite a lot from people that might, not raise eyebrows, but people always said Tommy Gravesen, what he could do with the football. You know, he used to make people sit up and take notice.
I mean, you're talking about top three, Tommy Gravesen, Stephen Pienaar, definitely skill-wise.
But the
thing is, and this is why I don't always like the question, Stephen Pienaar was probably the most skillful player. He had probably the best brain, but he couldn't pass it at all.
He had a curly toe.
He was rubbish at actual passing it.
Yeah.
Whereas Tommy had attributes. He could pass it. He could ping it. He could dribble it. He could see a pass, but he didn't really have a brain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's quite difficult sometimes to say who's the most talented player you played with, because there's some talented defenders out there who are top at defending, but their strengths are at 1v1s or heading the ball. So to combine it all into one player is quite difficult.
What were your... your time with Wayne when he was at the club. I mean,
Wayne would be the other person in the top three.
Yeah.
Even for the short space of time I played with him.
Yeah.
He was incredibly talented. You've seen that he got a £27 million move, became the player that he did.
Yeah.
So, he's certainly the third person I would have picked in that top three for ability. But, there's players that weren't as good as them, but affected the game just as much or more. Tim Cahill, Fellaini, they affected the game every time they went out there, both ends of the pitch. But they weren't as skillful as the three other players I mentioned. So it's a difficult question, but Wayne's a terrific talent.
Yeah. He
still is now. He's still got a lot to offer.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, because, when people forget, this is that 98 was the Youth Cup final, wasn't it? Especially when he scored that goal. Because you obviously had the injury in that time, and because you've been in the same England team. Was Gareth Barry in the same England team as you?
Yeah, me and Gareth, under 16s, away in Poland. Share the room.
The glamour.
How frustrating was it for that time? Because I think, when your first start, I think it was actually 2004, wasn't it? Because you scored, wasn't it? It was at Wolves. So, I think Gareth had been playing Premier League football 6 years by the time he'd had your first start. And people forget that. How frustrating. Have you doubts in that time about whether you'd make it or not?
Well, I would say he certainly got away from me with appearances there, guys,
didn't he, in them first
6 years. Made it difficult for me to catch up. Did I have doubts? I don't think I did. No. As strange as it sounds, and it's a strange thing, because I don't like to be overly confident, or I've never been one to, but I just had this inner, it was just, I'm delayed. It's another obstacle I've got to go over, but once I get my chance, I'll be fine once I get my chance. And people have said, did you realise that your career might be over with the injuries? And again, I didn't. Only when I look back now and I've seen other players go through similar things and struggle, that I realise, I was quite fortunate, or determined, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I just always believed that I would eventually get me chance. But, to have people around me, even within our squad, Franny Jeffers made his debut early and got a move, and then Wayne came through, and then... One of my best pal, Tony Ibo, got in the team and stayed in the team. It was like, look, I'm telling you, I can do this as well. I can do it. Just give me my chance. And it eventually came.
Because fortunately for you, just like your first full season in 04-05 when you finished fourth, wasn't it? Which must have been like a bit of a reward, wouldn't it, for all them hard years of not being in the team and stuff. That was like still our best Premier League season ever in terms of places.
Brilliant. It was like, see, you should have put me in the team 2 years ago. No, it was a great time. It was, we really struggled the season before, and the feeling without him coming out and saying it was that Moyes wouldn't be there that long at the start of the next season. Really, it was such a relaxed, pre-season. Obviously, I hadn't really done many up to that. I'd been away with the squad. This one was a lot more relaxed. He was more relaxed. Let the team go off and enjoy themselves when it was downtime. And the next thing you know, we got off to not the best start, Arsenal. They were still the Invincibles, I think, at the point. And then, you know, talking about things to start a season off, we went out, away to Crystal Palace. We were 1-0 down. I think AJ scored a pen.
Yeah.
Or got brought down for the pen. In fact, he might have done both.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, their keeper tried to dribble around Kev Campbell. Get to goal. Suddenly we're feeling confident. Mm. Gets another one, win. And then you never look back. And seasons can change on one moment.
Yeah, it was that Spironi thing. That was a big turning point. It wasn't insane in Moyes' career. Somebody said that at the start before that game. So it was the earliest six-pointer in football history, you know. But there's one goal in that season I want to talk about. It was still one of the best goals I've seen at Goodison in terms of like the atmosphere. It was the Portsmouth goal in the injury time at the Gladys Street end, which is incredible.
David Moyes doing his Jurgen Klopp impersonation on the touchline, charging up and down.
That was certainly one of my favourite moments. I mean, I'd scored my first goal at Goodison at the Gladys Street end, but it was in the first 5 minutes, and you know, I ended up scoring another goal in that game. But you don't know how the game's going to go, so you enjoy the goal, but there's loads of game left. I'd scored one against Southampton as well at last minute, but again, it was such a horrible game. It was a boring game that it was like, yes, we've won, but that was a tough one to go through. But that Portsmouth game swung both ways. Yakubu ended up scoring for them.
Scored the world,
chased after my flick on, which wasn't great. And then to score that goal and the atmosphere and the way it's what you dream of, getting into the first team, you know, a goal, last-minute winner at the Gladys Street end, and it was brilliant. In fact, I've still got the picture up on my wall. I think I've only got that one picture of my whole career of moments and scoring that goal.
And the other game that season, because Dave was saying about like Moyes did play good football, but it's still one of the best ever performances I've seen, certainly on the Roses, when we won 3-1 at Villa Park at the end of February. I think you scored a couple that day, and just remember, I was like real school of science stuff.
That was the team that got us. I mean, Tommy Gravesen was missing that day. I think he'd just gone. We just got Arteta. Yeah. It was Arteta's first or second game. Yeah. It was one of them, and he fit into the team seamlessly. We had the team around him that had got us into the top four all that season, and everything just came together from Tim scoring one. Tim was unplayable pretty much that day. He was everywhere. I scored two, and then even when we went and they equalised at the start of the second half, it was, no worries. We're still going to win this game, no problem, and we did.
Yeah, because he set up your goal, didn't he? Dribbled through about four of them, didn't he, and passed it to that was just because it was always a great crowd to go to Villa Park. We've spoken about this on the pod before, because you were always, as an away fan, always behind the goal. And it was like, we scored two at our end that day, and it was just, I remember, just a great atmosphere. And knowing, like, I'd seen Everton like in the mid-80s, I was thinking, that could have been the mid-80s Everton team nearly with that good that day. The football they played was just
praise indeed.
Yeah.
Now, it always reminds me of Goodison Park Villa, or certainly did then, because of the Archibald Leach crisscross design and everything. It's got an old-fashioned feel, so it feels like a traditional football ground, a proper football ground. How do you feel about the old lady, you know, sort of moving on 3 years down the line, going to a brand new stadium on the banks of the Royal Blue Mersey? You know?
Unfortunately, I think it's time.
Yeah,
it's got to that point. Yeah. The history it's seeped in is incredible. The World Cup, the Dixie Dean, the top player, everyone, the cup games that we've, the league titles that have been, everything. But to keep up with we're falling behind in regards to modern day football, and there's no way of us redoing Goodison Park like Spurs have done with White Hart Lane. It's just impossible. So that means we're going to have to look elsewhere, and as sad as it'll be, it's like with the training ground. No one wanted to leave Belfield. It was seeped in history as well, and it was a great place to go and train, but times change and you need to move on. And once we did, and we realized it wasn't too bad, and you start to create your own history at the new place, and then, you know, the club's really settled in.
Right, well, we always wrap these things up by predicting what's going to happen on Thursday. and we've been absolutely useless all season. We haven't got one right, have we?
We get accused of being too positive as well. You can't win, you know.
I think we all went for the 2-0 win at Brighton on Sunday. Look what happened there. Limassol, we kept quite close to. I think I said 2-1, didn't I? It would have been, but for the last-minute equaliser. So, all right, we know Lyon are a decent side. We know they've got, you know, lots of Champions League pedigree. But equally, they've drawn both their games so far. Drawn 1-1 against Limassol, drawn against Atalanta. Yeah. You know, we need a reaction from the players. And there were signs on Sunday at Brighton that, you know, some of the football was decent. You know, could have been ahead before the goal. So, come on, let's... No, I'm not trying to influence anybody. Just be honest. What do you think is going to happen? Go on, Gav. Do you want to...
2-1 for me.
We're going 2-1 to toughies, yeah?
I think we're going to win 2-1. Yeah. It's a must-win game. I think we're going to come out accordingly. I think they're a good team. They've scored in all the games so far. And I think they'll probably score again. But I just think we're going to have to wear them down, and at some point our season's going to get off to a going, and hopefully this is the night.
Well, if Ronald actually includes Kevin during the course of the year, then I think we'll win. I can't see us keeping a clean sheet, so 1-0 is out the window. But I'm sticking with 2-1 as well. So no pressure.
Well, I can't say 2-1 now because we've got. No. 1-0. The Mighty Blues.
Right, well, you heard it all here. Everton are going to triumph in fine fashion on Thursday evening. So cheers for Leon for joining us.
No problem.
Cheers, Gav, and we'll be back with you tail end of the week to see how quick this up. Picking breath. Cheerio.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin has done exactly that. On the ass. Oh, what a finish. That's what he can do. Calvert-Lewin's ball in. Chance for Rooney!